Righto, well, I've spoken to him on the blower, I think on one occasion at least, and the man in front of me right now, Dr. Michael Mosley, he is the author of the 8-week blood sugar diet and, of course, the 5-2 diet, and with him is his beautiful wife, Dr. Claire Bailey. How are you?
Good morning.
Welcome to Perth.
Thank you. Hi there.
I know that you're sort of having to keep going on adrenaline because you're on a bit of a whirlwind tour at the moment. Perth, in terms of the marketplace for your books and your television shows, I mean, you obviously feel pretty welcome wherever you go these days. Everyone knows you.
I'm very welcome. And when I arrived at immigration last night at about midnight, the lady behind the desk started asking me about the 5-2 diet and about blood sugar diet and things like that. So she obviously recognised me.
All right. You are obviously in a world where there are conflicting issues here. We've got processed food like never before. We've got competing supermarkets. And, I mean, I know you guys in the UK, you enjoy sort of various numbers of supermarkets. We've now got Aldi that's taken over in Western Australia, and they're offering processed food and cheap food like never before. So trying to compete with people's minds in terms of what they can get away with in a cheap sense of eating food and eating the right food must be very difficult, Michael.
It is very difficult, and unfortunately as well, governments tend to subsidise the foods that make us sick. So both in Australia, the UK and the US, we have historically subsidised foods like corn, which are not terribly good for you, and not put subsidies into the sort of healthier foods. And even in the good old days, kids used to get a glass of milk, that got wiped out. And a lot of fear rose over milk and full-fat milk, and that turned out to be nonsense, that actually milk is an incredibly healthy product, and full-fat milk is one of the better drinks you can have, and it got replaced by fizzy, sugary drinks instead. So, yep, the story of the last 40 years has been pretty much going in the wrong direction. I'm vaguely optimistic in that I think people are much more aware of the long-term effects of bad food on their bodies, and because we're all living a lot longer, I think people are more concerned about the fact that they want to stay healthier for longer. And so there is a trend, and no more than that, towards healthier foods. And to be honest, if you kind of buy decent food and you do it yourself, it really isn't that much more expensive than the processed stuff. It just requires a bit more thought.
Claire, I know you're involved in terms of the recipes for the book that followed the 8-week blood sugar diet and all the recipes that are there. How hard is it to sort of sit down and figure out not what's sort of good for people, but what they're actually going to want to eat?
It's a change in attitude towards it, and actually going back to expenses, you can get really good frozen vegetables, they're not that much more expensive, stock your freezer up, tins, it's still, you get the benefit from it. In terms of attitude, actually it's almost asking people to do the diametrically opposite to what we've been told for the last 40 years, and during that time diabetes shot up, weight shot up. And going from the low-fat diet, which means, you've got to eat something, so people eat starchy foods, and switching to lower carbohydrate and actually higher fat. And people are beginning to get to grips with the lower carbohydrate approach with less starchy food like potatoes, rice, bread, pasta. But eating more fat, more healthy fat, can be a challenge, and actually increasing your intake of, avocados, lots of olive oil, eating food like nuts. People are still saying, I didn't realise I could eat nuts. Yep. So they're eating crisps instead. So it's really getting the kind of message
You eat a couple of eggs for breakfast, that will fill you up. Eggs are not expensive. I mean, Claire works in a practice in quite a deprived part of England.
Yep.
And she sees a lot of patients who are overweight and who are either borderline or heading towards diabetes. And she offers them advice, and they find it's no more expensive, that going on foods that are healthy are no more. And often the challenging from that is when they're told they're either diabetic or they're heading that way, or they have, fatty liver or whatever, and that unless they do something about it, they're going to go on medication. And in many cases, they're going to go on insulin eventually. Yep. But that's the journey. And these drugs in the UK, it's free, but it currently costs the UK government around $20 billion a year. About a quarter of the UK National Health Service budget goes on looking after diabetics and all the complications of it. So the costs are absolutely phenomenal. And the same is true in Australia. I mean, you obviously pay for more of your drugs, but the drugs are just soaring. And every projection from every health economist I've seen basically goes, diabetes is going to bankrupt our economy because, you know, you end up amputating people's legs, people go blind, and it doesn't necessarily kill them straight off, but they go on living incredibly miserable lives very expensively for a very long time. So that's a challenge.
I think, I was just going to say, I think people actually really get that now, and people are much more receptive than they were 5 or so years ago. And so people, when they're being told, them, you know, okay, the next step is insulin, or we can get you off your medication, and people are really working at it, and they're coming off their insulin.
They can deal with it themselves. They don't have sort of this idea, we just take a pill and keep taking a pill forever and it'll fix things. People realise that that's not necessarily the case. By the way, if you've tried the 5 and 2, or the blood sugar diet, you want to have a chat, feel free, 922 111 882. Just come through and tell us your experience. And if you've got any questions for Michael or Claire, feel free to give us a bell, 922 111 882. The other thing that I keep hearing, and I bet you guys hear it, is that we're so time poor now that, you know, we've got to have the easy fix in terms of, you know, preparing meals for dinner and so on. I mean, I hate this time poor thing because technology was supposed to give us so much more time because it was just going to be so much more slicker and quicker, but it's just nonsense. But this time poor, how do you convince your patients to get around that argument?
Well, Claire created recipes for the recipe book, and essentially they're designed for people who are time poor.
I'm time poor.
Why are we so time poor all of a sudden? What's happened to us?
So I've tried to make them as simple and as quick as possible to do, because, you know, with that in mind. And I think one of the things that we get feedback is people saying they're really enjoying bringing, you know, going back to good, solid, good, healthy eating, and it's based on a Mediterranean style of eating.
Have you heard of the Blue Zones?
Yes, I have.
So do you buy into that suggestion that, you know, those Mediterranean diet, people on Mediterranean diets with the lifestyle they've got, bang, they live longer and they're healthier and so on?
Absolutely. The tragedy is, if you look at the Blue Zones, there's a lot of the countries and the areas which were identified 20 years ago as areas where people were incredibly healthy and lived longer, they're now eating an American-style diet, and so they're not living any longer. They're just becoming obese like everyone else. There's an island off the coast of Japan which was cited as the place with the most people who were in their centenary. And their kids are now grossly overweight and dying 20 years younger than their parents, because even, you know, the Mediterraneans, the Greeks, the Italians have sadly largely abandoned their history and their culture, and now they eat pizza and they eat huge amounts of pasta and they eat lots of junk. So this is a phenomenon which has swept the planet, and unfortunately, if you're not a Caucasian, the effects are even more devastating. So I was in Vietnam recently, and a surgeon there said that they were now cutting off more legs because of type 2 diabetes than during the height of the Vietnam War due to landmines. And in places like China, diabetes has gone from nothing to 100 million. And in Australia, obviously, there are very high rates of diabetes, but probably about 1 in 3 of the population over 40 have what's called pre-diabetes.
Which, like, means you.
Well, absolutely. I actually was a diabetic. I was type 2 diabetic. I'd gone over the threshold. Yep. But
did that surprise you, by the way, Claire, when you realised that he was diabetic? I mean, you'd know what his diet was like and so on, and his fitness levels. And
Actually, he didn't as well. He wasn't significantly overweight. Yeah. So he was what they call a tofi, which is thin on the outside, fat on the inside.
Right.
And you know, I think about 30% of diabetics are like that. They look quite slim, but they store their weight
that,
around
that
the
grabbable
middle,
gut, we call it over here, the grabbable gut.
Which is kind of where you lose it first, and it's really where you don't want to be storing it.
It's the visceral fat, yeah. I've looked back on photographs of my time, and I do look pretty chubby.